Regular meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Time is 1:25, March 19th, 20th, 1986. Members present, Representative Marr, Representative Doctor, Representative Copeland, and Representative Collins. I'd like to welcome the teleconference sites online today. We have several bills scheduled for hearing today. However, we will not be taking any testimony on House Bill 532, which is the tort reform bill. We're having a work session tonight for committee members in order to work up a draft to adopt tomorrow in committee. And we'll be at 6. A work session tonight at 6 o'clock to work up some changes in the bill, and then be working on that bill again in committee via teleconference, and hope to have the bill ready to go by the middle of next week. I have met with the Judiciary Chairman to see when his scheduling is, when scheduling is available in his committee for the bills, and he's informed me that he'll take them up immediately after the Easter break, and so since that's as early as he could hear them, I'd like to keep them in committee until then so that we can keep continue working on them and fine-tuning them. First order of business today, I'd like to address our boards and commissions appointments, and I've taken out, in the new letter, I've taken out the Athletic Commission, the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Board of Dental Examiners, and the Board of Electrical Examiners, and left them out because people had some concerns about those. Athletic Commission and which one? Barbers and Hairdressers. We just took out the two names that people had some concern about. Representative. So I'd like, if there are no objections, to recommend that we adopt the other appointments. Without objection. Also note for the record the presence of Representative Pierce.
Tell me that, and if they are, we don't need an amendment. record is Don Coke, Chief of Market Surveillance Section of the Division of Insurance. As to the question just posed, this joint insurance arrangement applies only to municipalities, school districts, and REAAs. It would not extend to any other entity. The argument for having those particular firms fall outside of insurance regulation, which in effect is what this does, is that those firms are not being called. Is that those firms all have an effective tax base? They are, in a sense, well, the municipalities certainly are agencies of the state, and school districts and REAAs by extension are also. Do you have any other questions?
How would we include REAs?
The REAAs? Oh, REAs?
Yes, RE1A.
1A. I'm not sure. I haven't attempted to draft language for that.
In that first paragraph, you have a copy of
Handy. I don't have a copy of the
page 12, where it says municipalities, school districts. I'm sorry. Page 1, line 12, where it says municipalities, school districts, and regional education attendance areas. Couldn't we just insert REAs, regional electrical associations, in there also? They also have a base.
I would assume you could. I think that we would also have to make clear our opinion as to whether that's advisable or not. And I don't think that that would be a good thing to do at this point.
Why is that?
There's an additional point that came up last night in some discussions. In the current time, when you have an insurance company which is subject to insurance regulation by a director or a commissioner or whatever, by a state agency, there is protection under the federal law, the Karen-Ferguson Act, for the actions of that insurance company when they act in concert, in establishing a rate or establishing anything of that order, and they take a concerted action. When you place that outside of insurance regulation, you no longer have those rates. The question that arose last night is you may have a situation where one of these JIAs forms and in effect sets amongst themselves a rate for the coverage that they're intending to provide and then find somebody who objects to that and brings a suit against them for acting in concert and establishing a rate that they, for whatever reason, deem to be unfair. We are aware that at the current time some of these outfits are trying to form reciprocal insurance exchanges under the current law, which would put them under the protection of the Karen-Ferguson Act. This is a new development. We really haven't had a lot of chance to talk about it. That's just basically what we're seeing now, so there may be some difficulty. We haven't gone much further than that at this point. I would hesitate to recommend that you add anybody else into this because of that.
I'll withdraw the suggestion then, and maybe after we've had a chance to research it a bit, we can take the same thing up to judicial.
Okay, the next president proposal.
Just very good question. It was fine as possible. Would you want a letter from the committee urging that topic be referred?
Well, I don't think it would be necessary. I think they will do it, and they're very concerned about it. So you are.
Okay, the next witness will be Nancy Gross.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nancy Gross. I'm the city manager for the city of Onalaska. I'm also the chairman of the legislative subcommittee on that is handling this bill for the Alaska Municipal League. I'd like to speak in favor of the ability of municipal governments to be able to pool insurance. And it seems to me that this bill does provide for that. And it is something that we need. I realize tort reform is a much more complicated issue. And solutions to the insurance problem are probably going to be approaching $500,000 on a $3 million on a $3 million general fund budget. We can't afford it. And we really have run away. I'm not even sure that if this bill passes, that there'll be able to be a mechanism in place. But it's about to break us. I feel like that's the basis of it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gross. I can assure you that we are attempting to responsibly address the old insurance question, including tort reform. Note for the record the presence of Representative Davis. Jennifer Fate. Okay, that is. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify to House Bill 506? If not, Representative Copeland.
Pass out committee substitute and plot the substance of the House Bill 506 by Glenn Cover. The next committee will refer one individual recommendation.
I have no objection to the motion, of course, and I want to thank the committee from the bottom of my heart for the hard work you've put in on this and those people in the insurance commissioner's office that have assisted on it because they've worked hard on this too. I did want to make one additional point, and that is that right now we've taken care of the governmental aspects of this problem that may be of assistance to our school boards and some of our municipalities, and let's hope it is. The difficulty is we haven't done a thing for private enterprise in this bill. And as originally contemplated, it would have allowed those nonprofit associations to come in. So I'm still going to try, and I hope there's no objection from the committee on that, to implement bringing in private associations within this. But I really appreciate what you've done, and I hope you'll also pass out this reinsurance portion because it'll go hand in glove with this if we don't find the money. Thanks again to the committee.
Thank you, Representative Taylor. I'm happy that you weren't objecting since you're not. Representative Copeland.
Would it be proper at this time to move that we refer this reinsurance portion of the fund sponsors bill, which has been pulled out into a separate bill, to rules
Okay, without objection, passed out committee substitute for House Bill 506, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to insurance and providing for an effective date. The next committee referral is Judiciary. Reconvene in order to